I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and straight talk with the guys in the community.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Soft Rep Radio. This is the new fresh episode just for your ears. If you're viewing this on any of our YouTubes or on our softrep.com, thanks so much. As you can already see, my guest today is none other than Jeff Kirkham. Let me give you a little backstory on Jeff, if I can, and he can correct me. Jeff is an author of the Black Autumn series books, or co-author. Jeff is Ready Man Network. Jeff is someone who believes in, you know, life-saving equipment like RATS, tourniquet systems. Jeff has also ventured in coffee and flamethrowers and you name it, and special forces with the United States Army. Jeff's career spans the globe and probably like a quarter of a century in DOD-style commitments for us, honestly, because I want him to believe that. So, you know, and I believe Jeff is a Boy Scout advocate as well. So let's welcome Jeff to this episode. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, man. Thank you. It's good to be back. You know, we were talking right before the show about how it'd been a couple of years. You had interviewed me before, so it's cool to be back on the show and chat with you.
Yeah. Last time we had, face-to-face, it was real nice. We hadn't been hit with the pandemics that had happened. And now we're kind of coming out of that these days. You know, people are starting to get back into that one-on-one style interviewing process. I'm excited for it. I love it. I'm really a people person. And I know that you've been running podcasts and doing that for Ready Man for a long time, right? And so how's that affected you and your game? The same thing?
Well, you know, we slowed down on our podcasts and then put it on the shelf there for a little bit. YouTube actually deleted our all of our videos.
Oh, no.
So back in the day, we were preaching about censorship and suppression and shadow banning, and everybody was like, whatever, that's not happening. And now it's like common knowledge. But yeah, Facebook deleted a couple of our pages, and YouTube deleted our page. You know, we had almost 1,000 videos up on there, and they deleted that. And so we just continue to chug along. And then the pandemic came through and all of the crazy insanity associated with COVID. So we're working from home, and in a burst of insanity, call it insanity, I guess, I was like, you know what, this is a good time to go back to school. So I actually went back to school and got my nursing degree, and it's been phenomenal. The 2 years, it was an intensive 2 years accelerated program for my RN, and then
congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. And
that's a big deal.
It's been really cool, like working with people and being on the big part of the healing side. And so I work part-time at a clinic, you know, to keep my hours up right now. It's called Advanced Muscle Integration Therapy or Treatment, that is the Bueller Clinic. They've got one in Kaysville and one at Draper, and then they're spreading out all over the world. We've got docs. It's a meshing of fascial realignment, acupressure, chiropractic, nutrition, mm-hmm. that brings in different modalities for helping people out. It's phenomenal. Like, I was a patient, and then I had such a great response from it, because I actually just recently found out I fractured the L4. The process of the L4. I knew about that. What I didn't know about, that the x-rays 2 weeks ago just showed me, was I have a compression fracture of L5. And so, and then I basically have no disc between my lumbar and my thoracic. The discs are completely degenerated away. And jumping out of airplanes, carrying heavy loads, falling off the walls, you know, from my former life, you know, in special forces.
Yeah.
But these guys gave me relief. And I was just like, what are you guys doing? And they had a posting. They're like, hey, we're looking for help. And I was like, hey, can I apply it? And they were like, you know, they're super nice people. And they were like, well, you have to know anatomy and physiology. And I was like, well, I'm a nurse. And they're like, oh, yeah, you can apply. So I applied and got a job, and it's just like every day I'm learning something new, and it's changed the way that I look at like energy and acupressure. I would have been the first one to go, eh, I kind of believe in that stuff. Now I'm like, no, it works. Like every single person that we work on, you know, it's not like a be healed thing, but every single person gets up and they're like, yeah, that's either a little bit better or a lot better for me.
Might, right.
They might. Neck problem that I had had for literally 30 years. I got off the table in 10 minutes and it was the first time I'd had relief. And I was like, what is going on here? I got to learn this. So
somebody was like whiplash, like a consistent whiplash, you know, you can't get rid of.
Jumping. Yeah. I can tell you the exact jump where it started, 1992 camp, jumping into Camp Bolas, Texas. And I'm pretty sure my forehead bounced off my knees. And then my neck obviously was never the same and blah, 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 blah. So anyways.
That was a static line jump then.
Static line jump. Yep.
Out of where you hook up that
141 jump. Old aircraft that they don't have anymore. But So I've been doing that. I'm still doing Ready Man. We just released the last book in the Black Autumn series, Blood Spring. So that's out and people can jump on that. We've Black Autumn has done really well. We're right about 500,000 copies sold, which has been really cool because lots of people have kind of our whole point with Black Autumn. It's post-apocalyptic fiction. To anybody that's listening, it's been a bestseller a few times on Amazon and whatnot. We were part of the story of Black Autumn as we wrote it as kind of a creative way to get people emergency preparedness minded, and so that they would, you know, it was like, look, we could write all these technical manuals and, you know, nobody's going to buy them, or the people who do buy them already or know that stuff anyway. So we took an approach. Let's do a fictional novel. Let's make it interesting, fun. And then we'll insert some educational stuff in there and see how it goes. And the response, you know, we wrote that several years ago and the response has just been phenomenal. And then we've got novellas, so there's 9 books in the series actually, and they've done really well. And now we're playing with the idea of maybe doing like a kind of like a mini series with it, so we'll see
some type of live action come to life. Why not? I mean, how cool would that be? You have nine books to play off of, and I mean, a lot of the scenery is probably in your backyard that you would like to use.
The book takes place in Utah, so.
It takes place in Utah, so I mean, you know, it's not like you have to get a green screen. I mean, you could, but you don't have to. It's right there.
And it's really, like, you know, it's almost surreal. We see, like, today, like yesterday, with the cartels, like they're literally at war with the Mexican government. Like, I was watching videos.
Was that what I saw?
Oh, man. I was watching
50 cal
of Mexican government helicopters with miniguns doing strikes on cartel targets. And then cartel have got 50 cals that they're shooting back for anti-aircraft stuff. And we literally wrote about this, what was that, 3-4 years ago in one of our blog articles. It was The Insurgency Next Door. And people were kind of like, eh, they're criminals. And I was like, nah, they're more than criminals. And that's why one of the books that is in the Black Autumn series is Conquistadors, where one of the cartels combines together, takes over, and then pushes into the, you know, into the failed United States. And that's one of the parallel novels. So, yeah, it's interesting of how, I won't say prophetic because that's really egotistical, but I mean, just how much it's like, you can look at current events and kind of see the trend. Anybody can do it and go, this is probably going to happen.
You're like, did somebody read my book? You're like, bro, like life imitating art or art imitating life. That's kind of like, it's true. I read a book and then all of a sudden I start picking up on all these different things that are happening that I've read in a book. It's like, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm staying, you know, COVID kept me busy. I'm getting ready to start an advanced degree for my nursing. The healing, you know, helping people out has been really cool. And then we've every few weeks, we've been running a mental health retreat with me and a few other folks. And that's been really fulfilling, helping out some folks to kind of figure stuff out with life. And it's just good people and it's non-pretentious. And it's been a fantastic learning experience for me too, kind of sharing what I did, you know, to prepare for stressful events when I was in the military and talking to folks and it's like helping them out with figuring out. So it's a retreat that we do. It's like a 3-4 day retreat down in southern Utah that we do, a beautiful ranch that's down there, and it's called Mustang Medicine. And so it's the rewilding retreat. And I do it with a few other folks, a few other guys that are down there. And man, it's just been so, long story short,
that's really cool.
It's like life has just gotten cooler and cooler and cooler. I'm super blessed. I can't complain. I've got a fantastic
good
family
space.
And super good space. Yeah. And it just, you know, it just gets better and better.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Are you going after your, is it the LPN? Is that what's after the RN? Is that the next?
Well, actually, LPN is before. So licensed practical nurse is before registered nurse, and then registered nurse, then I'll start working for my nurse practitioner.
Okay. Yeah. Right. That's where you can kind of treat the patient as well as prescribe, right?
Yeah. More and more. So it's interesting. Anybody that's military that's out there, a nursing degree is a phenomenal root degree because it's intensive. It doesn't have a bunch of the BS that's normally associated with college degrees. It's all core classes. Mm-hmm. And so that was really nice because I didn't feel like I was wasting my time. But then nurses are like the NCO core of the hospitals and of the healthcare profession. And so nurses run the hospitals. The doctors come in like officers and give their intent and, you know, and obviously the docs are the surgeons and stuff. But it was interesting, you know, when I was working up at the University of Utah and the cancer ward, I was in for a surgery when I was doing my rotations. And, you know, I was looking, I went over to talk to the anesthesiologist and I was like, oh, well, how long have you been an anesthesiologist? And he's like, I'm not an anesthesiologist. I'm a nurse anesthetist. He's like, I'm like you. I'm a nurse. And I was like, what? And this is like major surgery because there was a double mastectomy of a patient and
breast cancer. Yeah.
Breast cancer. And, you know, and he was like, there's only one doctor in this room. And he's like, and it's her right there, the surgeon. And I was like, well, the other person that was going after the surgeon clean, I was like, well, what is she doing? And I was like, she's a nurse practitioner. I was like, well, nurse practitioner. Right. And then the gal running the ER, or not the ER, running the
room, the room, OR,
was an RN. And I was like, oh my gosh, it was really, really enlightening. And in the healthcare profession, more and more nurse practitioners are taking over kind of that general practitioner. Because doctors, I mean, medical school is so friggin' expensive, they've got to specialize, which has been good because we're getting highly specialized people. So like if you go to an orthopedic surgeon, they're like, I'm an orthopedic surgeon that works on shoulders. You need orthopedic surgery for knees, go talk to Dr. Rad because he does knees. I do shoulders. You know, they've got really specialized. And kind of the more, and you have nurses that are super specialized too, but if you go to like urgent care or something like that, you're probably going to see an MP or a PA. But
physician's assistant is the PA.
Yeah, right? Physician's assistant, which, you know, the two that, I mean, for sake of this, are there differences? Certainly. But for the sake of this conversation, the two are, I mean, nobody's
kind of equal. They would fight together.
Yeah. I mean, PAs are going to, any PAs that are out there are going to scream right now, and same with the MPs. But I mean, for real super basic stuff, they're kind of equal for the basic stuff. And so they're taking over the general practitioner type stuff, which mm-hmm. to me is super interesting. I find that just the general bumps and bruises and rashes and stuff, because like in my, you know, I'm a prepper at heart, right? And so now all of a sudden it's like, man, I got some skills and this is a job I can do. I could be 90 years old and work as a nurse, you know, because it's so broad. And then, and I'm already now like I'm working on people and friends and family. Jeff, I got this. And
you're like the, yeah, it's like a mechanic in the neighborhood that brings their cars over.
Exactly.
I learned not to get mad at the snowplow not plowing around him, by the way. Okay. Yep. I'm like, all right, bro, I know you're fixing the neighbor's car. Okay.
So that's been cool. I'm still doing the business stuff. I mean, I've got a couple other patents awarded. So two more tourniquets
that
are different than my RATS tourniquet patent. But,
sure,
you know, just keeping my mind active and solving stuff. And I mean, we've got a dog leash that we're pushing out. And so
I love that. No, that's perfect. And cats. My cat is leash trained. I just want to let you know that. So as long as it's compatible, I'll rock it with my cat, Luna. No problem.
Oh, well, let me know. I'll get you one so you can test it out. That's cool.
Oh, do it. Yeah, I'll TikTok that right up, dude. No problem. Because people love to watch my cat on a leash for some reason. It's not the norm. But, you know, she climbed a tree when we got her as a kitten. And she went like 60 feet up one of my pines. Oh. I couldn't get her down, and it was October cold. So we called a buddy, Blake, and he came down, and he was just getting into the tree business. So he put on his stilts and climbed up, and she jumped away from him and fell 60 feet and hit the ground and then ran up on a fence. She looked like a Halloween cat. And I was like, Luna. And he was up at the top, like with his light on his helmet looking for her. And she had jumped off the whole thing, dude. Wow. I was like, okay, little kitten. And, so yeah, a leash. She's leash trained, bro. I was like, no, you're never getting away. Leash it is.
Awesome.
That's it. Now, but with the rats, that's something I want to mention. There's people out there that have this, you know, back and forth about this tourniquet or that tourniquet, you know, don't use that tourniquet. And people will use a belt as a tourniquet. People will use something that like a USB-C cable as a tourniquet in a moment of need. You know, it's probably best to know how to use all tourniquets rather than bash on a singular tourniquet, because some multi-letter acronym that has people who work for Tyson's Foods on its board seems to care.
Yeah. We, when I teach classes, tourniquet use and stuff, I have a bag. I think I have 15 different tourniquets that are in there, and I teach all of them because it's like, look, people ask me, Jeff, what's the best tourniquet? And I'm like, the one that you have and the one you know how to use. Because you don't always get a choice. Maybe you didn't have one with you, but the area that you're at. And I tell people, I'm like, look, how many of you guys out there, you know, I have a class, and I'm like, how many of you guys that are out there have been in a gunfight? Maybe one hand will go up because he's a military dude. And I'm like, okay, how many of you guys have seen a gunfight? Maybe a hand will go up, you know, and this is like 15 students or something. I'm like, okay, how many of you have seen a car wreck? Well, every hand goes up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many of you have been in a car wreck? Well, like 3/4 of the hands go up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, okay, let's start talking about the number one preventable cause of death on the battlefield and in the civilian world is massive hemorrhage, is bleeding to death. And I was like, and the safest, most effective way of stopping bleeding is a tourniquet. The old wives' tales about you're going to lose the limb and all this, that's garbage. That's been soundly disproven. And if the person bleeds out anyways, then you didn't do any good anyways. So,
right.
And so learn how to use all the tourniquets. And it's kind of like guns. Once you learn how to use a few different guns, you can pick one up and figure it out. And it's like, I've never shot this gun before, but I can figure it out because the gun is, well, and tourniquets are really
tells me, yeah, the ergonomics of it.
You can kind of like, I've never seen this before, but yeah, I can figure this out. Boom. You can put that on and save somebody's life, which really at the end of the day is the biggest thing. And there's so many there's so many tourniquets that are out there that, you know, some work for some folks and some don't, but it's like, learn them all. You know, what's a little, the knowledge doesn't weigh anything. You know what I mean?
Right. It's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. It's a serious type of thing, right? I have one in my daughter's car. We have one in each of our cars. And so just cause it may not just be, if it does happen to me, I'll be like, right here, get the tourniquet.
We actually, okay. it was interesting. So Paul Markle, a student of the gun, just taught a class last fall. Taught a class to some folks that are on a farm, right? And it was like, hey, here's tourniquets and all that. He does this great class. It's called Beyond the Band-Aid. And it's just managing trauma type stuff. And two of the guys that were in the class, 1 week later, were loading a calf. This is one of the, that's the cool thing about having done a tourniquet is you hear all of these bizarre accidents that people have when they use your product to save a life. But, so two guys are loading a calf into a trailer, and the calf didn't want to go into the trailer. So the one guy is kind of coaxing it. Mind you, this is 1 week after they had the Beyond the Band-Aid class. One guy is kind of coaxing it, and he slipped. There's some mud, and he slipped. So the calf jumped over the top of him when he slipped. Well, when that happened, the calf stepped on his arm right here and sliced him open. And slice that artery. So all of a sudden he looked down and he's like, oh crap, I just had a class on this. So he reached down and he pinched the artery that he could see that was squirting blood out. And
Beyond the Band-Aid.
Yep. Beyond the Band-Aid. And yelled beyond at the other guy, tourniquet. So the other guy had a kit, ran over, threw a tourniquet, happened to be a rat's tourniquet, but it could have been any tourniquet. Threw it on his arm, loaded him up, and took him to the hospital. And the doc was like, if it had been another couple minute or so, you would have died. It was like, you saved his life with that tourniquet. And they took it off, and the guy, he's fine, you know. But just stories like that are so incredibly humbling, where it's just like, man, that's a life was saved. And he's a great guy, too. Life was because of
pinched off the, he just pinched off the valve. He just like closed it off. Just like, God, close it off.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah. Crazy.
Serious.
Huh?
That's crazy. Yeah. Cause honestly, I guess you and talking to you makes me think past the Band-Aid now. I just want to say, usually it's like, oh, I got a Band-Aid. Yeah, that's true. Right. And I got an ace bandage too. What's past those two things and the ice pack? You can only do so much with your orange tackle box, your safety clip.
If you get out there and train though, it's amazing. Yeah. You know, it's amazing what you can improvise, but you've got to train, you know, it was the Boston bombing that, I mean, that was horrible, but the Boston bombing
marathon,
you know, they, bunch of people were trying to do tourniquets. And, I think, don't quote me exactly on this number, but it was like 70% of the impromptu tourniquets were not effective. So that went out through the trauma community and it was like, don't even try doing, hasty tourniquets because they're ineffective. And it's like, no. They were in it. That's like saying that the car's ineffective because you don't know how to drive it. It's like, these guys.
Maybe proper placement would have helped if someone had some knowledge of like, oh, put it up higher or
tightening, you know.
Yes.
Exactly. And so that.
Like making it tight.
That was the issue. Huh? Yeah. But it's not. And tourniquets, they're not intuitive. And so like you had mentioned belts, you know, and belts actually don't make very good tourniquets. But you can use a belt as a tourniquet, but you've got to know how to do it. And there's some training that has to take place. So that's why we tell folks, it's like, what is the best tourniquet? The one that's on you, the one that you can impromptu put on to save somebody's life. You know, you can make a tourniquet out of a T-shirt, but you got to know how to do it.
But right. it can't be done quick and tight.
We did a video. It's interesting. We did a video on Ready Man. It's been a few years ago where we used all kinds of different stuff to shut down blood flow. We had a Doppler ultrasound. We were stopping blood flow in the legs. It was Josh, Fighter Josh was the guy. And I mean, we were using all kinds of stuff that, like, you know, people in the trauma world would scream about. But then it's like, hey, look, the idea is to stop the bleeding, get them to the hospital, and you're not going to hurt them. You know what I mean? And so, and even if they do, like, get compartment syndrome or something, they're not dead. So let's keep that in mind. So, yeah.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
That's crazy, because speaking of, like, injuries, you know, I go snowboarding quite a bit, and couple days ago I had took a hit on the back of my head, and the goggles had shifted on my head and kind of bashed into my nose, and I was like, oh, stupid helmet. That's the first thing I said, right? But
stupid helmet, you just saved my life.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then I stopped and I said, thank you, helmet, because it would have been worse if I had caught my edge, you know, and really smacked my head. What if there was a hidden tree stump underneath that snow, you know, or any of that type of stuff? You know, you're riding under terrain that you just don't know. And it's like, or you do, but you don't. And so, yeah, damn helmet. Messing up my money maker. What are you doing?
Yep. So.
Oh man, that is that's another thing. I know a friend of mine, he just went through the whole EMT course here in Utah. He's super proud of that, and now he's running ski patrol. You know,
Good for him.
Right.
Everybody, like, I was just having this discussion. It was like, you know what? EMT certification should be in the high school curriculum. It's sure. We're worried about school shootings and stuff. Well, hell, let's make all these seniors first responders. How many lives would we save? And wow, they're getting an education at the same time, and they're getting college credit. Why don't we do something?
And hanging out with a fire truck sometimes. I mean, hello. I mean, it's cool stuff. It's not like, you know, if you're hanging out and learning all the first responder stuff, you're going to be hanging out with the jaws of life and hanging out with these guys and saline bags of IV solution for, you know, doing pricks.
You know, it's all about, you know, one of the things I talk about, and it applies to this, one of the things I talk about in the retreat is in psychology, there's this thing called the trifecta of happiness. And everybody lately, it's going around dopamine and serotonin and whatnot in our bodies, that these are the feel-good chemicals, that, you know, neurotransmitters that are in our bodies. And well, the trifecta of happiness is serotonin, oxytocin, and dopamine. And the single, and so that's kind of the three things that, if those three are in balance through your body, you feel really good, you're pleasant to be around, you're helping other people out. And, you know, and this is a whole lecture that I give as part of the retreat, so you can understand what's going on at the chemical level of your body. But trifecta of happiness, the number one way that you can activate the trifecta of happiness in your body is service. Serving other people activates the trifecta of happiness. So, and that's where I'm just like, you know, with the mental health crisis that we have going on in the United States, and depression's an all-time high, and blah, 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 all this stuff. It's like, why don't we institute programs in high schools that being an EMT by nature is serving your fellow man. So let's give them skills, confidence, stuff that they'll use for the rest of their lives, even if they're never an EMT, because how many people have seen a car wreck, right? Everybody in the class always raises their hand. Now we can help people, and they can render aid. You know, they can be that guy in the neighborhood that knows something. Bob's having a heart attack, and they can run down the street and render aid to their neighbor or to a family member. Now it's service, activating that trifecta of happiness. That'd be a super cool thing, you know. I mean, this is kind of a pipe dream and utopia, but
it could happen. It could, because, I mean, we had auto shop, we had wood shop, we had these different types of skill classes that taught us, this is how you change a tire, this is how you change your light bulb on your headlight, you know, this is a lot of the fan belts, you know, you'd get in and, you know, it was male-female ratios were almost even in auto shop and things in wood class, mm-hmm. you know, because kids were in classes doing different things, so it could totally be something like that, and it would just need an advocate to probably steer that ship, you know, someone that could take, someone has to become the teacher, someone has to be like, you know, passionate about it and to kick it off. And then as they produce that success, then that's just going to produce other teachers to be successful mm-hmm. behind that, you know,
and I'm probably hyper fixated on medical because of my background and because of being a nurse, but I don't know. I just see that as one of those where it's like, you know, we just got back from vacation over Christmas, and you know, when I helped, let's say I had like six different people came to me and were like, hey, can you help me with X, Y, and Z? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And it's just a really cool feeling. But you know, it could also be that neighborhood mechanic like what you're talking about, where it's like, you know, that service is service, right?
Right. It's right, you know. I mean, shoveling your neighbor's snow just to be nice is the nice thing. It's just, I'm already there. I'll just do an extra lift. And then there's just another lift and then just another lift. And pretty soon I've done their driveway. And then I'm at the next neighbor's driveway. And I'm like, when do I stop?
Yep.
And now I'm like, I need a snow plow. See, that's how my thought process is. I need a four-wheeler. I can do the whole neighborhood. That's
yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it's been a cool journey, you know, and really taking this, you know, full cycle, that's exactly what we're trying to do with Black Autumn when we wrote that novel was, I mean, you remember I said it, like, we're coming up with a clever way to get people, like, we had no idea if Black Autumn, we didn't know if we were going to sell one novel, you know. But we figured
right.
our friends and family will do it. And this would be kind of a cool, clever way to get people thinking about emergency preparedness. So, you know, and then it grew hair, no pun intended, but grew hair and turned into what it is today, you know. So it's pretty cool.
It's clever because you do like to talk and you have a lot of expertise about all of ready man style stuff, like how to, like, you know, do little survival things and, you know, use a slingshot when you don't know how to, if you don't have anything, here's how you make a slingshot. You know, that's really like what's in your, you're like a Swiss Army knife. I'm sure you have a toothpick hidden on you somewhere that, at the end of the day, you know, and here's my, right. I got my pencil. There's my toothpick. Oh, to David Letterman. Just to you, my man.
There you go.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
And then the other project that I've been steadily working on is Juxi.com, JUXXI.com, because after we got booted off of YouTube, it was like, well, I guess we need our own video platform. So we've been working right. on our own video platform. So if you're familiar with Full 30, FULL30 is kind of like a YouTube for firearms. Juxi absorbed Full 30. And so now we've got the technology is stable on that for moving video back and forth. And so now we're continuing to push that and grow that too. So it's a video platform that, you know, we're not censoring people and letting the First Amendment be.
Exist. So it's just kind of like have a free, like not really a free for all, but like the freedoms that we would think that you should have mm-hmm. to post, right? That's kind of, cause you'll probably have some type of safeguard you know, absolutely. To prevent, you know, I mean, like, you know, like faces of death from reappearing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, child porn and all that, you know,
yeah,
obviously, You know, we're pretty steadfast. It's like, hey, if you put illegal stuff up on here, not only will we delete your page, but we're going to report you to law enforcement. Just we don't.
Right, right.
You know, if you're hurting kids or stuff like that, it's like, nope, not doing that. But as far as like somebody asked me, they're like, what if somebody's a Nazi and wants to, and I was like, hey, that's their opinion. They can do that as long as they're not hurting anybody. My kids are Jewish. And so that's where it was like. But then I'll take my kids there and I'll go, see this? Watch this. That's why these guys are assholes. Mm-hmm. And but if it's some secret.
It's like he's outing himself being that way. Why would you even? I mean, I hate that it gets put out there, right? But there's somebody out there that just has some type of dumbass cause, like, I don't know.
Well, you know what is interesting? I'm trying to remember where I read this, but what really took the wind out of the sails, pretty much killed the KKK, was there was a journalist that got into the KKK and became a member and then started doing news articles on them and showed the truth of what these guys were doing, because it was kind of a secret organization and they had challenging passwords and stuff like that. And so this guy opened it up and all of a sudden these guys, you know, they're like, wait a minute, we sound like little kids running around in bed sheets, only we're assholes because we're racist. And, and it took the wind out of the
was not looking good. Yeah.
We're not looking good because the light was shown on them and people could
shining.
Go, oh, this is what these guys are about. Well, they're jerks. I don't know. I'm not interested in being part of them.
And you have to step outside of it and then see it. And then all of a sudden someone else came in and did that and wrote about it. And then you read about it. You're like, wait, that's me. That's us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, yeah, that
so,
is.
So that's that's what we're working on right now. I mean, it's heavy on the firearms because firearms are so censored everywhere that they can come to Jukesy.com and you know, it's like you can talk about having your firearms classes and without worrying about getting shadow banned or shut down or whatnot.
So. Right. You know, and there's only so much. I mean, I have uploads, we have YouTubes, and, you know, I do a lot of airsoft war games, right, Jeff? And the guns that I have are getting banned for the conversation. I'm like, hey, I'm a professional in a gun range environment doing professional safety, shooting my professional airsoft gun, et cetera, et cetera. And it's still banned. And then I have to appeal it. And then the appeals come through and they're like, oh, sorry. But what I did was I went and read, like, you know, the TikToks, the YouTubes, and all the different, you know, this is what you're supposed to do in your lane, right? I'm listing stuff in a firearms category. And so I went and read every single thing and nothing in there says airsoft, not a single thing.
Yeah.
So I was just like, how? So they have to be shown that, right? Because they're just sitting behind a keyboard with a list and they're just like, yes, it looks like a gun. Yes, it looks like a gun. Hitting that key. Yes, it looks like a gun. And then here's Rad replying for an appeal saying, hey, let me explain.
I'm amazed they haven't completely shut you down, to tell you the truth. YouTube shut us down. They wouldn't even admit that they shut us down until we forced them on a conference call. And then it was like, we'll get back to you. And we never heard anything. Same with Facebook. We appealed and appealed and appealed. And they're like, yeah, we're looking over your appeal. And they completely shut us down. And we weren't doing anything political or super loud.
You know, when we did that Mission 6-0, the 50 cal out there at the farm, I took a quick, like, 1 minute video of me doing a stand up with the 50. I think what Mitch filmed it and then I uploaded it and it got shut down. I was like, at a range with instructors on both sides.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and then they came back and they put it back up, but it had lost all of its original momentum.
Yep.
And that's kind of like, and now I just feel like there's a little bit of, like, you know, some type of glitter they sprouted on me that keeps me in certain search algorithms and, you know, whatnot. So
for now.
So Jukesy, huh? Yeah. J-U-X-X-I, huh?
J-U-X-X-I.com. People ask us, where'd you get the name? And we're like, we made it up.
Sounds cool.
We wanted something that sounded cool. We made it up and would it allow us to kind of write our own script type thing, because we're opening it up to more than just firearms. But if you type in full30full30.com, it takes you to the firearms section of Jukesy.
So
it's a redirect there.
Well, you know, if you think of a jukebox from back in the day, it was just full of a collective of different genres of everybody's taste of music, bro.
That's right.
It's like, let's flip it through.
Country to disco.
That's what's up. It's so true. So that's Jukesy.com, and you're putting that out there. So if you're looking to, you know, put your content up somewhere and you want another place to do it, check out Jukesy. I'm going to check it out. I'll create an account.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I will indeed. What's the last book in your Black Autumn that you've got, and what's the next one?
Well, Blood Springs, the last book, we just released it, and it's the culmination event that takes place. It happens throughout, but there's a big war that's taking place because the cartel has pushed up through southern Utah, or through the southern U.S., and they're trying to get into Utah because they're trying to secure the oil stores. The premise of this section is, if you look at old Mexico, a bunch of the Western United States was originally part of Mexico. And then we won that back in the Mexican-American War. So we took that premise, and there's still a belief that down, you know, by the fringe, by the radicals, whatever you want to call them, that they want to take that portion of the U.S. back, California, New Mexico, Arizona, and pull that back. So as a matter of fact, here in Utah, when the Mormons first came into the Utah Valley, it was Mexico for about 2 years before it got pulled into the Union. So the Mormons left the Union, and then it
came to Mexico.
Became Mexico, or they came to Mexico to get away from the persecution, and then it flipped over and became a U.S. territory because of the wars. So it's pretty interesting history. And so all of the stuff that we write, we try to take a very historical bent on the books. We look to the past to see to the future. So like the homestead, which is a main portion of where all the people are, the characters of the book, not all, but most of the characters of the book of original Black Autumn, the homestead is about 150, 200 people. And we took that number because historically speaking, groups of people that are about 150 to 200 seem to do better. And so if you look at a bunch of the tribes, and we even saw this in Afghanistan still to this day, villages were about 150 to 200 people. And because that's a manageable level of people. And then once they got bigger than that, they would split off and form a new tribe, a new village, or new whatever it was, Somaliad's clans. And then what that allowed them to do was, you've got enough people that you can feed them, you can secure them, you can take care of them. People can be sick, but work can still get done. You can watch out over other people. You've got kids, you've got older. And so it seems to be that kind of that sweet spot where you can replace the number of people that are there. And so that was the number. And then, so that's the whole premise with, you know, America Invaded, which is one of the parallel novels, and finally Blood Spring, is that old thing of this conquest to take back what was Mexico, you know, back in the 1800s, early 1800s. And so
1847. Yes, like 1844-ish, right? Because we became a state in 1847, right? Daisy 47 parade.
And then not long after that, so Johnston's army came out to Utah. That's pretty much what established this as part of the Union. And then the Civil War kicked off, and so the Union and the South wanted to secure the lines through Utah. So that's where Cedar Fort came from, and Douglas, because they were trying to secure, to keep the South from splitting over and attacking California and whatnot. It's really interesting, rarely looked at history of the United States with that everybody thinks of the Civil War as only taking place in the South.
Like North Carolina, South Carolina.
Exactly. And there was fighting going on in Texas. And, you know, there's stories of lost Confederate gold here in Utah and in New Mexico and stuff. So that's kind of the premise. So we're big advocates of look to the past, look to the future. Like book two, which is Blood. So it's Black Autumn, Blood Spring, and then, I'm sorry, Black Autumn, White Wasteland, and then Blood Spring. So it follows fall, winter, spring. And then White Wasteland, we delve into a bunch of the mental health type issues that, you know, with like the book starts out pretty dark with a guy committing suicide because, you know, there's a pestilence that's going through, a flu. that's killing a whole bunch of people. We wrote that prior to COVID too, but a flu goes through and kills a bunch of people.
It's you.
And so, and then a big fight but, you know, just mental health issues that people are grappling with because, you know, malnutrition and whatnot. And what we actually did is we looked back at the dark ages, the Middle Ages, and what people don't understand, rarely understand, is that suicide was rife through the dark ages. It was so bad in the dark ages that if you think about it, the Catholic Church, who was the predominant religion at that time throughout Europe, came out with an edict that said, you've got to stop committing suicide. And then they made it so extreme that they said, if you commit suicide, you're going straight to hell. There's no repentance.
Right.
There's no, you're going straight to hell. So that was the extreme measures that was taking place because it was happening all over, because we had the plagues were happening. There was a mini ice age that had taken place. There was pestilence. There was starvation that coincided with these plagues. And so we took a snapshot of that and put that into White Wasteland. We studied a lot about the Spanish flu and how people reacted for that, and then some of the trickle down stuff that happened when people were sick because they were wearing masks that were dirty, and so bacterial pneumonia actually killed more people than the Spanish flu. A bunch of people were being attributed to dying of the Spanish flu, but it was bacterial pneumonia. So a bunch of people in the U.S. So, anyways, we tied all that.
That's crazy.
Tied all that together.
Right. No, I love it. I love it.
So it made for a pretty, you know, what we felt pretty realistic, interesting read. So.
Well, and what I was going to say, it's like when you turn the alphabet from A, B, C, D to A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you start to memorize it. You start to learn it and you start to enjoy it. And so if you could take some of these things, like you said, that are very technical on a piece of paper that technical people already know, the technical paperwork, but you put it into a format where Rad's going to read it and you want Rad around. And I can say, hey, I learned how to do this. Watch this. How'd you learn that? You know, it's like reading a book. You know, it was an interesting book that captivates you. It's a post-apocalyptic, and there's all these different scenarios that happen that takes place with the backdrop of Utah as its landscapes. And, you know, someone who is a nomad out there all the time looking, I guess, for the lost gold of the Southern wars. I haven't found it yet. I'll let you know. I'm all over the desert. I'm like, what's in this mine hole down here? Who's down there? Oh boy, you know, oh, yeah. You know, dude. Well, listen, I think that you should check out Jeff's books and his series of Black Autumn. I really appreciate you being on the show. And, you know, the circle is tight around us. I know people in the circle you do and vice versa. And I would give them all a shout out, but this is about you right now. And, about the author, Jeff Kirkham.
Well, thank you. I
RN as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on that.
Well, thanks. Yeah. It's been cool, man. Just constant, you know, got to constantly feed the machine or else, you get stagnant. Stagnant doesn't help anybody. So I'm a big,
well, you got the constant Green Beret mentality, bro, of just like always educating yourself. Right. I give that, like, my dad was the same way. Until he died, he was working on his PhD, his doctorate.
That's awesome. That's so
awesome. You know, so you know, and in human resource and business management, he had already a master's. So then he was chasing the doctor, but he got sick and, you know, that took him down. But again, you know, he always had that drive and he instilled that. He's like, always chase more. So we appreciate you, Jeff. I do.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. It's always a blast chatting with you, for sure.
Well, thank you. And I think I'll let you get back to your busy day today. And I'm going to take off and go take care of other things. And so I really want to say thanks for joining me on this episode of Soft Rep Radio. You've been a fantastic guest, friend, and someone to look up to. So, you know, in the business world, bro, I know your resume. So I look up to it. So thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
And peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.